Is your holiday filled with lights or with frights? Today on Homespun Haints, we're giving you a special holiday present filled with cheer and fear. So snuggle next to the fire and settle in. We're in for quite a night. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we are so thrilled that you can join us on this cold and wintry day, or hot and sunny, depending on where you're at.
We don't discriminate based on hemisphere.
Absolutely not. So I was just thinking the other day how a lot of podcasts we listen to, they always start out by talking about what they're drinking. Uh-huh. And I thought that would be kind of funny if we ever talked about what we were drinking. And I was like, Diana's probably going to be drinking kombucha. So Diana, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking GT Dave's Guava Goddess kombucha out of a bottle the size of my head. Much bigger than my head, actually. It looks like one of those mind tricks where I'm holding it close, but I'm not.
Well, I am drinking espresso. My espresso's getting cold.
I think the point of espresso is to drink it quickly. Hmm. Yeah. There you go.
I got a chaser for that. That was strong.
Is that another cup of coffee? Espresso with coffee chaser. Well, this is going to be an exciting show, guys.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. We got to pause. My husband's theremin just arrived. I got to go sign.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, 1 second.
Why is your husband buying a theremin?
I bought him a theremin.
Oh, like Christmas present. Holiday present.
We celebrate Chris Monica.
That sounds like an instrument to rival a theremin.
That's how we're celebrating the holidays. We get each other ridiculous presents. I got my husband a theremin. And for those of you that don't know what a theremin is, it is a musical instrument that you control by moving your hands over it. And somehow it's like electromagnetic waves or something. And if you know the opening for the old Star Trek from the 60s.
TOS. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that. And apparently they're very hard to play. So we'll see how this goes. If we start hearing some theremin music on the podcast, we'll know where it came from. So we have a very important holiday tradition in our family.
Which is?
Telling ghost stories. Do you have that tradition in your family, Diana?
No, we don't have that holiday tradition in my family.
Well, maybe you should start.
I am going to. You know what? I'm going to start this year because of this podcast.
Actually, for the longest time, especially in Victorian times, telling ghost stories around the holidays, specifically around Christmas, was traditional. It was alongside your Yule log and your Christmas tree and your presents, you had ghost stories. And it makes sense, right? Because it's the shortest day of the year. It up here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's cold. It's very cold. You're like crouched around the fire. You're getting really close to one another. If the power's out because of a blizzard, you can't play on the Nintendo. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell stories. And in the South, especially, storytelling is such a big part of the culture here. And as I've said before, you tell happy, funny stories during the day. And then at night, you tell ghost stories. And when the night comes at 4:30 in the afternoon, you can get more ghost stories in.
In that vein, and inspired by that, we have put together a special holiday extravaganza.
Yes, we have roped our own family members into recording their own stories, and we've created a compilation here of wonderful stories, because Diana and I have had our share of paranormal experiences, but it's not just limited to us, our families. I mean, we get it from somewhere, right? So every single one of these stories are true, in keeping with everything else that we present to you. They're all true stories. They are told by people that are near and dear to our heart. And we're going to start off with a story from my own mother. And she really wanted to talk about the haunted gallery.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, nope, gotta come up with another one.
You tell her, okay, in that case, I need two stories, please.
Yes. And so here she is with two stories in two separate houses in two separate states. She was haunted. Here are those stories as told by my mother, Lois.
The incident I'm going to talk about took place almost exactly 30 years ago on a mountainside in East Tennessee. We had just moved into a new house we had built on that mountainside. The area we built in is called Foxfire. That name comes from the bioluminescent fungi that's abundant there on decaying trees in the woods. Our Foxfire neighborhood had homes on large lots, so the homes were not real close to each other. And most of the homes had been built in such a way as to leave trees all around them. So it was like living in a forest. Being a mountain home with the back side of the house being on the slope of the mountain, the master bedroom on the back of the house was 3 stories high up from the ground. However, the woods behind the house had very tall trees. So when we looked out the bay window from the master bedroom on the back, we were looking into trees, trees, and trees. Well, soon after our family moved into our new house, I started experiencing nights when I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking it was morning. I had that sense you get when you wake up with the sun shining brightly into your window. And my reaction when I woke up was to immediately check the time. Well, strangely, each night I woke up like that, it would be the same odd time, 3:37 a.m. I would lie there and listen, or look around the room, even get up and check the house to see what woke me up. I never noticed anything except the quiet calmness you find in country nights. The awakening became so routine that one night I woke up a few minutes before 3:37 a.m. I was alone in the room because Mark, my husband, was out of town on a business trip. I remember noticing how it was very quiet and peaceful, no rain, no wind. One of those nights we southern-born folks used to call a soft southern night. After checking the clock, I pushed our cat Tabby off of me and sat up on the side of the bed just to get my bearings. In that position, I was looking out the window towards the trees behind the house. All I could see was darkness out there. Very dark, in fact, given there was nothing behind the house except the forest of dense trees and a deep valley beyond them. Suddenly, a brilliant orange-yellow sphere of light appeared out of nowhere in front of the trees. It seemed to me to be about the size of a softball. It had a glow all through it and all around it. It hovered there for a few seconds, and then it zoomed a few feet to the left and hovered there a few seconds more. Then, with a jerk, it just zoomed out of sight. It was as if something had grabbed it and yanked it right out of there. Looking out into the darkness, I didn't see any more lights of any kind, nor moon, nor stars in the sky above. I watched for a while, but I didn't see anything. I went back to the bed, sat down, and waited. Still nothing but nothingness. After that, I slept through the nights, and I never saw the light again. It did cross my mind that what I saw might be the foxfire that grew around there. Foxfire fungi are attached to the wood they grow on. They don't get up and leave or roam around at night 3 stories above the ground. When Mark got home a few days later, I mentioned it to him. He said it must be St. Elmo's fire. He said it's a phenomenon caused by random lightning. I hadn't heard of that. Well, I was busy with all the unpacking after our move, so I guess I took that as an explanation, went on with my life, you know. Now, 30 years later, with the convenience of the internet and after Becky asked me to tell her this story again, I decided to look up St. Elmo's fire. St. Elmo's fire or light is a weather phenomenon in which luminous plasma is created by a corona discharge from a sharp or pointed object in a strong electric field in the atmosphere, such as those generated by thunderstorms or created by a volcanic eruption. It is a bright blue or violet color. Mine was yellow, not blue or violet, and given the absence of an electrical storm or volcano, that certainly didn't describe what I saw. I saw it on a very calm, clear night. So next I looked up ball lightning. I found that the term ball lightning refers to reports of luminescent spherical objects that vary from pea-sized to several meters in diameter. They are generally spherical or pear-shaped with fuzzy edges. They tend to move, most often in a horizontal direction, but they may also move vertically, remain stationary, or wander erratically. Ooh, so I'm thinking, aha, what I saw was ball lightning. But alas, as I read more, it was obvious that ball lightning is almost always reported during thunderstorms. The night was clear and calm. But here's, to me, what the most curious thing is. From all of my reading, I discovered that there currently is no generally accepted scientific theory for ball lightning. It's because it's one, so rare, and two, it doesn't last long enough to be studied. With so many anecdotal accounts down through history of ball lightning sightings, though, it is very hard to deny that ball lightnings exist. But there is no explanation as to how, why, when, or where they may occur. Another curious thing, and one that I can relate to, is how a lot of the anecdotes from eyewitnesses down through history include descriptions of ball lightning having intelligent behavior, moving around as if it has some purpose and knows where it's going. For example, many stories talk about balls deliberately chasing or attacking someone or something, or just moving along a pathway, like a hallway. The ball I saw definitely acted intelligent. It appeared right outside of a window that hadn't been there long. It was a new house. And it was glowing with a fire-like energy that wasn't diminishing, as if it were alive in some way. I remember having the distinct impression that it was hovering, as if it had some weight and mass to it, similar to something treading water. It zoomed a few feet in one direction and hovered again, and then it suddenly whisked away or was pulled away. It was almost as if it were checking me out and then said, "Okay, seen all I need to see. I'm out of here." While I'm honored to have witnessed something so rare, awesome, and supernatural, I can't help wonder, why me? How did I happen to be the one to see such a rare occurrence? Oddly enough, and by some strange twist of fate, I ran across a term that sparked another memory. While I was reading about ball lightning, I saw another term used by NASA to describe ball lightning. It's the same name as my Grandpa Sutton's nickname used to be for me. Fireball.
Do you want to start with your second story now?
Yeah. I've had a few other things happen to me that were a little bit strange. Like beyond Tennessee, years later, when we moved to the Atlanta area, the house we bought was a typical subdivision type of home just inside what we Atlantans call the perimeter. I had a couple of strange things happen there. One night, and Becky, you were away at college at the time, so you weren't there, I was sitting at the kitchen table with Tabby at my feet, our cat, and I heard something hit the kitchen floor. Tabby and I got up to investigate, and in the doorway beyond the counter, in an area that was out of my sight from where I had been sitting, on the floor was a plastic Care Bears mug. Do you remember Care Bears from your childhood? Anyway, I stood there for quite a few minutes studying this. It had been ages since that cup had been used for anything. It was a baby cup, and no toddlers had been in the family for a long time. All I could think was that cup was stored in the old Sutton china cabinet in the dining room. How did it get out of a locked china cabinet and onto the floor in the kitchen? Well, I asked your dad and sister if they had gotten the cup out of the china cabinet for any reason. Nope. Not one of us could remember seeing that cup anywhere except in the china cabinet. I never figured that one out. I picked the cup up, washed it, and put it back in the china cabinet where it stayed until we moved again. Another time, I was working at the kitchen sink, and I observed a large plastic pill bottle on a nearby counter just suddenly flip over on its side and slowly and deliberately roll off the countertop and onto the floor. I looked around the kitchen, no one there but the tabby cat, as usual, beneath my feet. And she had definitely not been on the counter. She was too heavy and too elderly by then to heave herself up onto a kitchen counter. I picked up the pill bottle and put it back where it stayed. It never did that trick again. I'm sure there were some other incidents that I don't remember because we got to the point where we often joked about the kitchen ghost whenever something got misplaced or we heard an odd sound. As I thought back to the strange things I've just described in East Tennessee and in Atlanta, I realized there were two common factors in all of them, myself and Tabby the cat.
I do have a quick question. That china cabinet, is that... is that the same one right beside us right now in my house?
As a matter of fact, it is. Is there a Care Bear cup in there by any chance?
No. I do believe that that house that you guys had in Atlanta was haunted. I had some things happen there when I'd come home on break, too. And I do remember you talking about the kitchen, and it just kind of became something regular.
I guess. It never seemed to be an evil thing. It was just a little bit... like a trickster, you know, just, I think I'll just play a trick on somebody, you know, and it would.
Well, thanks again, Mom, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Next, we have a short story by my partner, Amber. Back when my partner was my business partner. We ran a clinic together in a very bustling nightlife part of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she had an experience which I never heard about at the time. I never got any kind of inkling whatsoever that my clinic was haunted. And yet here we have the evidence from Amber.
I was an office manager of a clinic and had to go back into work after hours for some reason. I forget exactly what it was now. It was nighttime. I was there by myself, but the clinic was in a very popular area. There were a lot of restaurants and bars close by, so certainly not anything creepy about being there by myself. So I was wrapping up and getting ready to go home. In this office, the way it was arranged was there was a big front seating area and then a long hallway all the way back to the back entrance, which was also another larger room. About two-thirds of the way down the hallway on the left, there were the restrooms. And so I was standing in the very front room because that's where I generally worked for the most part. And I turned around because I was about to head home and go through the long hallway to the back to get out to where my car was. And I turned around and I just noticed this figure crossing from one of the treatment rooms across the hallway and into the bathroom. I wouldn't say that I got like a great look at it or anything like that, but it just very clearly seemed to be the figure of a human being going across the hallway and into the bathroom. And I knew I was there by myself. There was no way that there could be anybody else in the building with me, so I wasn't worried about my, you know, self-preservation or worried that somebody had broken into the building or anything like that, because it wasn't that big of a building. If there was a human being in there with me, I would have heard them. So that was never my worry. But, you know, it still kind of gave me a little bit of a pause. And I was like, you know, I think now is the perfect time to go home. So, of course, I had to walk down the hallway past where I had seen this figure, and out the back door. And you know, I kind of checked the bathroom just to be on the safe side and turned the light on in that exam room and, yep, nope, nobody there. Okay, well, I'm just going to go about my day and go home. I also have one that's both Christmas-themed, paranormal-themed, family-themed. It's got all the themes. When I was in middle school, my parents started putting up this toy train around our Christmas tree. And we had it up for years, and it never did anything unexpected. It was just a little toy train that you'd turn it on, it'd go around the track. You could turn a little knob at the top, and it would make a train whistle noise. When I was a freshman in high school, my grandfather passed away. And that Christmas, the Christmas after he passed, that train suddenly whistled in the middle of the night. It woke me up, it woke my parents up. We all got up and went in and looked around the Christmas tree, and we were looking at it, and we were like, what in the world could that have been? And my mom just chimes up and she says, I think that was Pop-Pop playing one last practical joke. So I hope you enjoyed my stories.
So I am a little surprised that Amber never told you about that when it was happening.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. That's her.
So I actually have a story from my daughter. Yes. We do have a rule on this show. We do not allow any guests who are under 18, but she was allowed. Yes.
She had parental consent.
She had parental consent. Yes. She's been dying to get on the show. Aww. So here is a story from a sweet 8-year-old girl who has been haunted by a ghost.
I got my ears re-pierced, and I was messing with my old earrings, but I wasn't taking them out of the cardboard. Then my mom said it was time to take a bath, so I put my earrings on the coffee table. I came down the very next day. I found them in two very neat piles that I didn't put them in. It was a pile of the earring fronts and a pile of the earring backs.
Who do you think could have done that if everybody was asleep? Do you think it was the cat?
I don't think Ella did it because she doesn't have thumbs.
And you were asleep?
Yep.
Your brother was asleep?
Yep.
And I don't think mommy or daddy would have done that.
Yeah.
You know why we wouldn't have put earrings on the floor?
Because it's dangerous. And you always tell me not to do it anyways.
Well, right. And that and the Roomba would eat them.
Yeah. I don't think Roomba can sort. And I don't think Alexa was out either.
Alexa doesn't have thumbs either.
She's a robot.
Okay, was that the only thing that happened?
No.
No, what happened next?
I was making a picture on a canvas with my colored pencils that I got for Christmas a long time ago. I just had moved the top off and I was coloring with the bottom. Then I heard that we were going to Moe's, so I put the top back on everything. And then I went out of the art room. And I got in the car, I went to Moe's. And then I came back, I went to the art room, and I was going to finish it, and I found all the colored pencils. Like, the box was upside down, so I was like, something went wrong. So I picked the colored pencil box up, and all the colored pencils were, like, scattered underneath it.
So how did that make you feel when you found all the pencils scattered?
Okay, I felt very, very upset because they were sorted very carefully and then I had to do it all over again. I had to remember what it looked like.
But They were in a room that was closed and the entire family was gone.
Yeah.
And this happened 2 days after the earrings, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So what do you think it was?
I know it wasn't Ella because the door was closed. I don't think there's any spiders. There's spiders in that room, but I don't think they were smart enough to do that because spiders can't build cities like we do. And they're not taking over the world. So I don't really know.
So we had two things that happened to your stuff. Do you think it was a ghost?
I really do think it was a ghost because I know ghosts can go through doors and they can probably sort.
They can probably sort things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are dead humans, so humans had a brain and ghosts have thumbs.
So tell me this. Who do you think it was a ghost of?
I don't know, a human. I think it might have been a girl.
Do you think it was a kid or a grown-up?
It was probably a kid because kids can be a little mischievous.
Was that everything that happened? Did the ghost just go away after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Until the microwave exploded, right?
I think the microwave was just used too much. For like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 years is a long time. Okay, well, thank you, sweetie. You did a really good job. All right, so that was my daughter.
So she's cute. I love her.
Aw, yes. Well, she loves you too. She keeps asking when you guys are going to come back.
Oh, visit.
Yay. Yes. You need to get your asses back here.
Oh, I would love to live in your driveway again, Becky.
My driveway misses you.
Oh. I also have step family with a very strong gifted streak through their family. And ooh, here to tell her story is my step-aunt, Kate.
Hello, this is Kate. I'm going to tell a very short story about an experience that I had. It was about 3 years ago, so I was about 44 years old, and one night I got up in the middle of the night just to go to the bathroom, and when I was in there just sitting on the toilet, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I heard an extremely loud voice. The way that I describe it is it's like if you turned on a radio super, super loud, and there were DJs. You could tell there was like a guy and a girl that were the DJs, and they were kind of talking. I couldn't really tell if they were laughing or what, but they were doing their commentary. It wasn't real. I heard this and just put my hands over my ears because it was so loud. But I really thought it was real. So I got up quickly and I went and I looked in my bedroom where my daughter was actually sleeping with me. And she was sound asleep. And then I glanced over into the living room and my two cats and my dog were sound asleep. So obviously nobody had heard this but me. It was very scary. But at the same time, somebody was talking. So I don't know. I didn't really make out anything. So I didn't actually get a message technically from it. And at first, you know, I thought I was kind of crazy. Immediately I went and got a pad of paper and I wrote several pages just so that I would, you know, have it in my mind. And so in the very beginning, it was scary and I was just confused. But then I really got intrigued by it. You know, I don't know. I just think that for some reason, and it was 3 a.m. So I think for some reason, somebody was trying to get in touch with me, or I was just in that world between worlds, you know, when you are half asleep, you know. Anyway, I don't know what it means. It definitely did not happen in this dimension, because my child and my animals were very near me and they definitely didn't hear it. So who knows what it was, but it was really powerful for me. And over the last 3 years or whatever since it happened, I've thought about it several times, and I feel as a person that the world just opened up a little bit for me there, and it was really cool.
Whoa. Okay, so you hadn't heard that story before?
Never. Nope. I never even knew this side of the family had any kind of gift.
I only have one more story on my end, and this is from my cat. It's very short.
Yeah, you'll have a chance to tell a story in a minute. You want to say something? Okay. Anything else? Really? Okay, good. Good to know.
No cats were coerced in the making of that audio clip. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our family's scary stories more than we enjoyed roping them into telling them. No, I shouldn't say that. They were all really good sports. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Solstice.
The holiday season is supposed to be about connecting with your family, and it's been so cool to be able to do this project and connect on a level with our family that we don't usually.
Yes. So we would love to hear how you have connected with your family with paranormal stories, if at all. Hopefully, we have inspired you to start a family tradition with your loved ones and friends, because friends are family too, if they're close enough.
And if you heard any really good ones over the holidays this year from your family, put them on our show.
Mm-hmm. We're recording our second season.
Season 2 starts recording now. It's time.
Thank you, everybody. Please be sure to check out the show notes for this episode at our website, homespunhaints.com. Check us out on Facebook at homespunhaints and Instagram at homespunhaints. And as always,
have a spooky day.
Do, 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 do.